Ben Standing is with us every Monday and Friday. He is our Washington Commanders insider. You can follow Ben on Twitter, X at Ben Standing. You can read him in The Athletic. I do. I'm a subscriber. And Ben's got a really good podcast that you can listen to called Last Man Standing. So here we are. We're 3-1. Before I get to what you wrote, because I was interested in what you wrote and talking to you about what you wrote, other than the rookie for this franchise, what other rookies have played well? They had a lot of draft choices in the top 100. How many of them are playing well?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Did you hear me? I heard you. I just broke up for a second there. Yeah, the other rookies. It's all been in sort of spare moments, right? I mean, Mikey Sanders still has played a fair amount. You know, he's obviously had some ups and downs, gave that touchdown to Jamar Chase, et cetera. But I feel like in his case, it's more like he's good and they're having to use him at a position because they've got, at times because they've got weaknesses elsewhere. But, his mindset, his approach, his sort of fearlessness, I think is the type of thing that they're looking at, and the rest of it, I think, should come up, work out over time. I think like Luke McCaffrey's had some good moments, right? I mean, he had a big catch there against the Bengals. He's had some other ones as well. But again, the receiver room, as we know, it's been sort of, just shuffling week to week, depending on, who Cliff Kingsbury to some degree sees as the guy to step up more. I think Brandon Coleman, he's had a couple of good weeks here in the row. I still assume it's a matter of time before he eventually is just the guy at left tackle. But, Cornelius Lucas has been fine as well. So anyway, Johnny Newton, he had some good moments, I thought, in the Cincinnati game. He led them in tackles that game with four, even though he only played like 21 snaps. So I think, those guys have all shown some good things. It's just, it hasn't been necessarily like a full-time or starring role for the most part. I think there's a chance Jordan McGee is back this week. He's obviously missed the year with a knee injury. He was a guy that was really impressing me back in summer before he got hurt. And I think Ben Sinnott, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's like he's been really close, it feels like, a couple of times to some significant plays. And I think eventually that works itself out. But right now, you've got Ertz and Bates kind of filling the main roles, which is understandable. So, I think they've been fine. And I think if they weren't 3-1, and it was the opposite, and we're like, okay, this is a rebuild kind of season, I think they're all progressing fine. There is a little more notice because it's like, hey, this team might be actually good this year. Are they going to get more from these guys? And that'll be what we have to see over the next few weeks.
Are we going to see Jordan McGee on Sunday?
We'll find out here in a little bit. I mean, it kind of feels like I'm going to guess we will, or at least he'll be active. That's my guess. I don't think he was like that far away from being able to play when he was put on IR. He'd already been out for a few weeks at that point, but obviously they decided, not to rush him and, let him heal up. So I would guess he's there. And I think, there's so many moves happening all the time, but I think with Crowder going to IR, I think that opens up a roster spot. And, I think he's the one that would make the most sense of the guys that just opened up the practice windows for to get out there.
We're approaching the quarter pole here to the season. Other than Jaden Daniels and the offense just overall, what else has surprised you?
It's
a 17-game
right?
schedule, so the quarter pole will technically happen, during the game on Sunday.
Close enough. I already wrote a quarter pole story, so that's what I had. My guy, close enough. All right, it's fine. So what else besides Jaden Daniels is that you're saying?
What's surprised you on the positive front, other than this historic start to a quarterback season by a rookie?
Yeah, well, I think that's to that end. I mean, yes, the Jaden Daniels part is what we're focused on, but just the offense as a whole. I mean, obviously everything's different from a year ago, right? But last year, and even though they did have some games where they, Sam Howell put up some good stats, this is just a completely different deal. And with Cliff Kingsbury, like, he is clearly, unlike the previous OC, is clearly has a better understanding of his personnel and what needs to happen here. Despite the fact that Jaden Daniels is having this great start, they're not asking him to throw the ball 40, 50 times the way it was happening a year ago. They're leaning into Brian Robinson, who was here last year. And they're running the ball not just effectively, but they're running it a fair amount. So So I think that just the whole offense as a whole, the offensive line, I would say as well, the last two games in particular have been very sharp for a group that we obviously were unclear as to how good they would be or if they would just be an actual weakness. I mean, I do think that these next two games for the offense are very interesting because they're much better defenses than they have faced. So let's see, you know, the numbers are going to come down one way or the other, but, you know, are they still as effective both as blockers, scoring, et cetera? Beyond that, you know, in terms of surprises, I don't know. I mean, on defense, obviously, except for last week, it's been still kind of a mess. You know, some of the guys that are standing out positively are like Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner, Quan Martin a little bit. And, you know, I think for the most part, those were guys that I figured would be sort of positive. So I think the defense is still the big mystery for me. And I guess you could say, to a degree, Austin Seibert, right? I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we're like, well, are they going to find a kicker? They're going to have one. And now we don't even mention it because he hasn't missed yet. And he's been pretty, you know, very reliable. So just the fact that that's off the topic, we're not even discussing the kicker right now, is a surprise from where we were not that long ago.
Yeah, I mean, the defense, the question was going to be biggest disappointment, but you used it as a surprise question, which is fine. I think the offensive, like, let me ask you this, because you mentioned the O-line. I think that's been, I mean, Next Gen's got him as the number one run block win rate team in the league, number eight in pass block win rate. So that's been a surprise. Clearly, coordinator, quarterback have a lot to do with how much better it's looked. But in terms of the offensive, you know, start, which has been amazing, if you were to slice it up in sort of a pie, you know, chart of crediting success, how would you break it down? Who'd get the biggest slice of credit? Who'd get the second biggest slice of credit, et cetera, by percentage?
Oh, I mean, you know, I Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury have the big pieces. I don't know if that's, 40 each. I mean, with Jaden, it's more than just the actual play. It's what it represents, that this is actually, they may actually have a guy that can, you know, carry them for the next decade or whatever. And obviously that is the most intoxicating part of all of it. But like I said before, the fact that Kingsbury has come in and, you know, not try to just say, this is what I'm doing, damn it, I don't care what we have. I mean, again, the receiver room, other than Terry McLaurin, is, you know, a lot of, you know, guys who could do specific things, but mostly bit part type guys who wouldn't be viewed as like starters on other teams, right? You have, tight end, you know, Zach Ertz is been a good player, but, you know, and the injury will be a question, but, you know, he was kind of left for dead on the side of the road in terms of the NFL as a starter, right? I mean, the Cardinals just flat out cut him last year, and when the Lions picked him up late in the year, they just stayed on their practice squad. So the fact that he's come in and been a viable guy, I think my point is that I think Kingsbury has done a really good job of figuring out what he has and how to make it work. And I wrote before the season that, you know, for all the talk about what fancy plays he's going to come up with or how's he going to help Jaden, like for this thing to really work, he's going to have to be at his tactical best. And I think so far he has been. I do think, though, it's fair to note that the team themselves said that the biggest advantage they'll have going into the year is the unknown. Like, teams don't exactly have a feel for what they're going to be doing. Now, at some point, whether it's this week or in the coming weeks, you know, somebody's going to try something different. We'll see how they react. But, you know, I don't know. I'd probably go 50 Jaden, 40 Cliff, 10 Brian Robinson, just because of what Robinson represents as the, you know, the aggressive part of the offense. You know, his ability to keep the chains moving and all that, you know, is what's helping this dual threat scenario work. And that really helps, obviously, the quarterback and the offensive line.
I think I'd go much higher on Jaden. I think it'd be more like 70 with Cliff at, you know, like 15 or 20, and then kind of a mix, but probably the offensive line next. Because I think the offensive line, where it's really been obvious, although it was great pass pro last week, but in the run game, it's been very good. But it's also a scheme that really benefits the run game. But I think they've blocked really well. We're talking to Ben Standing, of course. You wrote yesterday, with Commanders off to a surprising start, how aggressive should they be in the trade market. And you wrote in your opening paragraph, and I think it was so spot on, that it's premature for them to be aggressive buyers. But the fact that we're even having that conversation is actually the story, you know, that it's possible they could be. So I'll ask you, when would it be appropriate, when would it not be premature anymore for them to think about being aggressive as buyers, and then for what?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, let's see what happens in these next two games, right? I mean, because not even so much, I mean, you know, you can't lose them both, but at least if you split, you're 4-2 going into a stretch where you have Carolina at home, the Bears at home, at the Giants, and then Pittsburgh at home. Other than Pittsburgh, all those teams have 500 or losing records, I think, right? So, like, there's an opportunity there to be like, hey, we can really start moving here. That said, you know, the defense to me would have to look so much better than what we've seen for anybody to realistically think that this is a team that's like a real playoff contender. I mean, I'm not dismissing what the offense has done, but like I said, let me see what happens once the other rest of the league starts making adjustments and tweaks, and they actually play better defenses. You know, the Bengals and the Cardinals are two of the, you know, lower ranked defenses in the league. But in terms of like what should they actually do? I mean, I'm of the belief they should probably do almost nothing in terms of like a big trade. I know Devontae Adams is the topic of the week, and you know, again, well, we can point to, hey, Washington doesn't have an obvious receiver outside of McLaurin. I just don't see that they're going to pay this guy the money it would take, even if they rework his contract, to keep him long-term. And as a one-year rental, it just doesn't make any sense to give up what the Raiders surely would want, with at least probably a third-round pick. I mean, if there's things on the, you know, can you get a cornerback, you know, right, who maybe can help your cause for a late third day three pick? Okay, you know, maybe you roll that dice. But beyond that, I just still, to me, this is still a long-haul scenario. This is still a big picture. And in talking to some people around the league, like former executive, personnel executives, et cetera, you know, I was like, hey, you know, the question you just asked me, at what point do you look at, if you're them, do you look at this and say, hey, we should do something? Because you never know when a contention opportunity comes about. And they generally were like, I probably wouldn't bother. They still have too many things they need to do. And if you're talking about to trade for a player of notable impact, but that means at least giving up a third, and this team just has too many needs for the long haul, and that's how they're building it. So I don't think they would do anything. I don't think they should do anything. But, you know, like I said, you come out of these next 2 weeks still looking pretty good, and now you've got this nice stretch coming up, and to say the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Giants are still kind of, you know, having their own specific soap operas, you at least have to have the conversation in ways I would not have imagined when the season started.
Yeah, I think the next 2 weeks, too. That's what I talked about earlier in the week, is that, you know, you beat Cleveland, you either beat Baltimore or you lose in a close game, but it becomes very apparent that you're a legitimate division favorite, or certainly one of them, and you got a chance to maybe play a home playoff game, and what you really need is just better defense. Then I think you start looking on that side of the ball, and, you know, in terms of expense, we'll see who's available and what it costs. We're talking to Ben Standing, of course. All right, back to Sunday.
Can I just add one more thing to that equation?
Sure.
So, like, I tweeted that earlier. Like, some people in response to my story were like, well, what do you mean? Like, why can't they go do it now? I mean, take advantage of Jaden's rookie contract. I'm like, well, the rookie contract thing is irrelevant now. That matters in the offseason when you can sign guys to free agent deals. Plus, right now, there's a very, very, very tiny pool of players. It's literally like Devontae Adams, like maybe three other guys that are going to be of impact. That is not the good value. This is a seller's market in that regard. You want to be in a buyer's market where you have free agency in the draft. That's next year. Like what the Texans did. Most of your bigger splasher moves by teams on the rise happen in the offseason. So to do it now, you'd have to be all in to win and 1,000,000% believe that this guy is going to help you, not just this year, but years to come. And like a 32-year-old receiver is definitely not that guy.
Yeah, that is my feeling on Devontae Adams, even though, I mean, and I've, you know, the pushback where it says, you know, he's not going to help that much. Haven't you watched their offense? Well, that's absurd. Of course he would help. But I'm with you in that you're talking about a guy that is going to be acquired by a team that is desperate to win now or is in win the Super Bowl mode now. And that's not where this team is currently 2 weeks at 5-1 with a win in Baltimore, it could feel a little bit different then. But at that point, I'd be thinking about defense. Because I mentioned, and I forget if we've talked about this week, but for those that haven't heard me say it, no rookie quarterback's ever won a Super Bowl or even participated in a Super Bowl. And the five that have participated and started in championship games all had great defenses. This is not a great defense. So there is a limit right now, historically anyway, on what this team could do. If they find themselves at 5-1 with a terrible defense, that's where I think I would look. But anyway, let's talk about Sunday. What's the Brian Robinson Jr. situation?
Don't know. We'll talk to Dan Quinn in a bit. I mean, we saw Robinson out on the field now, but we're not out there for very long, and I don't know. Yeah, I can't say for sure that he was doing much of anything. So we'll hear from Quinn in a little bit. I mean, the fact that Robinson is who he is, a tough guy, I would imagine, you know, probably have to be a legit injury for him to not
What is
play.
The injury? It's a knee injury, but what is it and when did it happen?
We don't know. Dan Quinn didn't mention it to us, and Cliff Kingsbury, you know, it was only one day. We didn't ask Kingsbury about it, so I don't know. But, you know, but he's not walking. I didn't see Robinson's not walking around with contraptions on his knee or his leg or anything, so I can't imagine there's anything notably serious. And, you know, if it was, Schefter would have put something out there, right? So I don't think it's anything that significant. And
that was a bit of a shot from a local beat reporter.
Well, I'm just saying, if it was something of significance, we would have heard about it by now, yeah, One way or the other. So I don't think it's that. It's just, you know, look, they've also been just in general fairly cautious with some of their guys, and mm-hmm. It's understandable, right? I mean, it's still early in the year. You need him, and, you know, it looks like Eckler's trending to play. So not that you'd be like, okay, well, we have Eckler, so we can, you know, Robbins can sit. But to some degree, there's maybe a little bit of that. So we'll find out in a little bit here from Quinn what's going on. With that, Robinson also just hasn't been in the locker room the last couple of days when we're there, so that doesn't mean anything for the injury. It just means we haven't had a chance to ask him anything about it either. So, you know, hopefully it's no issue, but, you know, we'll see in a little bit.
There are other people on the injury report that haven't practiced, and that is Noah Brown and Nick Allegretti.
He's fine. Made a point to note to us he's not wearing a boot. Noah Brown, I think, is the one we're all kind of wondering about. Literally, Dan Quinn's walking up to us right now, so we'll find out in a minute.
So you got to roll. But I was just going to ask you real quickly, Marcus Mariota, is he going to be active this week?
I don't know. I don't know why you would rush it at this point.
Okay.
But we'll see.
You got to run. Do you want to give me a quick prediction before?
Commanders 24-20.
See ya. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Ben Standig, everybody, out in Ashburn.